Welcome back, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. And if you want to be on the program, 800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222. So, we've been off for a couple days, and the world is a-brewing. And stewing, and shaking. And so let's get right to it. I've promised you now that I would tackle this healthcare thing. Because it's, you know what it is? It's everyone right now, this is the topic du jour. Republicans are, as you've heard, have made a proposal of a plan. And this plan, I'm not sure anybody really likes it at the end of the day. In fact, I would say its supporters will even, you know, what do they say? They say it's good. That's the best they can say. And they can say, well, don't let good be the enemy of great. Of course, I think the saying goes the other way around, so they're a little lost on that. But I want to first, before I explain the politics, and I will take you through the politics of this and tell you what I'm thinking, I want to first explain to you why this is a failing proposition. The whole argument and discussion right now about Obamacare and about how to fix it, whether to repeal it or whether to just throw some Band-Aids on it, why this is a lost cause from the get-go. And I have to explain first the economics of healthcare, and everybody tries to complicate this, and people say, well, you know, there's healthcare experts, there's people that are in the industry, they're in the know, and they want to tell you and me what to think about healthcare because they're so smart. It's like these Republicans in Congress. I mean, they're so smart. They're so wonky. You know, they know their policy. And us peons, we don't get it. Well, let me tell you, the problem is actually quite simple. And it started with the day that government decided to get involved. Because there is nothing else in life right now that is as important to us as any service or product, I'll put it this way, that is as important to us as healthcare, where there is so many, there are so many layers between ourselves, right? Us, the end consumer, and the actual provider of the service. When's the last time you paid a doctor cash? That's a good point. See, that's what it is. Most people, they write a check or their employer writes a check. It goes to the insurance company every month, goes up there into thin air. They don't know what happens with it. And then they go to the doctor and there's a copay and whatever it is, it just works out. And most people don't think twice about it. Well, they do because they're paying way too much for healthcare, or they maybe get turned away from one doctor that doesn't accept a plan or whatnot. But that's the extent of our experience with it. And it's a very bad health insurance is in and of itself actually part of the problem. In the best example, and I was saying this earlier, I think my dog has really great health care, but there's no health insurance. And by the way, if you think I'm joking about this, do you own a pet? If you own a pet, you know that there is pet insurance you can insure, but it's a reimbursement type deal. But you have to, if something happens to your dog, what do you have to do? Well, you can put the dog down, I guess. Can't do that with grandma, but you can put the dog down. Or you go to the vet and you're going to do what? You have to pay for it at the time of service. Now, this is important because since you have to pay for it at time of service, it has to be affordable. The percentages of Americans that have any real savings is next to nil. It's shocking. We hear that all the time. So I remember, this was 5 years ago, maybe longer. We were babysitting. We have a dachshund at home. And one of those little wiener dogs. And she's 11 pounds. And we had some friends who also have a dachshund. And they gave us their dog. They let us, you know, take care of their dog while they went on vacation to Hawaii. And on day two of us taking care of their poor dog, he slipped a disc in his back and lost the use of his rear legs. Now, by the way, when somebody trusts you with their pet, I mean, is that not the worst, just the worst feeling ever? So there it is. We rush him to the vets, and these people love their dog, and they basically told us, well, whatever you need to do, whatever it is, we'll pay for it. Just make sure it's taken care of. And so the next thing you know, this dog is rushed into an emergency spine surgery and ends up getting a hemilaminectomy, which is where they remove a piece of the disc and fix a piece of the disc in the back. So he full on spine surgery. Now, it cost $5,000. And I want to now ask you why. Where did that number come from? I spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I remember at the time, I was so fascinated. It's, why 5K? And the answer is actually stunningly simple. Because these people that run this this hospital have figured out that that is sort of the outer limit of what the average person in Orange County can afford to put on their credit card. That's what sets the price. Price is set by willing buyer, willing seller. There has to be a meeting. This is Econ 101. And therefore, a service that everyone needs has to be affordable, not because in liberal theory, of course, liberal land, there's price gouging. But price gouging won't work because let me just put this example to you. Same spine surgery, 100K plus for a human. Well, it's on a human. It's not on a dog. I don't know. I mean, call me crazy, but I think it's a lot harder to operate on a little dachshund disc than on an adult male. I mean, you got to do like tiny little instruments. So I don't necessarily buy that argument. Why is it so much more? And the quick answer is, of course, is that nobody pays that full amount, but that's what they charge because some people will pay it. So they charge the maximum of what some plans, some places will pay. And there's a bunch of people who don't pay. But the real thing here is, if there wasn't any health insurance, and humor me here for a minute, if there was no health coverage, then that spine surgery would have to cost an amount that the average person in that market, in that area, could afford. They'd have to, because the surgeon would starve. If your spine surgeon, okay, if over at Cedars-Sinai, they could charge they would only charge 100K cash. That's it, 100K cash. Who could afford it? The answer is nobody. I mean, of course they want to sell. Car makers would love to sell every car for 100K. But why does the average car cost $22,000? Or $25,000 now? I think it's up a little bit. Why? Because they figured out that that is what the average person can buy a car for. You cannot make a living selling to the top 1% only. You have to have services that cater to the average consumer. And therein, that is, by the way, that is how it always worked. And prices were nice and low. And then came in the government with Medicare. And what they did is they said, all right, but there's these have-nots in society. There's these people that can't have, they need help. And they said, well, we will pay, X for this procedure and Y for this other procedure and so forth. And they started to set prices that the government guaranteed that they would pay. And at that point, folks, this is so important because you here we're arguing about Obamacare and are we going to replace it? Are we going to change it? Or what are we going to do? But the very premise of government setting prices is flawed. And it's happening because the government did this. They set a floor to the price when they did Medicare. And other government plans have followed, including Obamacare, setting prices for healthcare. And what does this do? It means now that every provider out there goes, well, at a minimum, I'm going to get that much. And all the other pricing rises from there. Because when you guarantee a minimum floor, it raises the entire It raises the entire scale up by that amount. This is common economics. The best, have you been to college? The college example is a good one. You know, you go to school, let's say you go to law school. All law schools cost about $40,000 a year. Why? Because that's what the government is willing to reimburse. That is what the government will loan you as a student in financial aid. So, surprise! All the law schools begin to charge $40,000. And that's the new FABOR. Got it? And some of the better ones are the ones that they know where they can get people to pay and will charge more. And this is the flaw with the system. The other thing is, you got to remember, insurance. What is insurance? When it comes to, you know, your car insurance or your flood insurance, it's supposed to protect against things that happen out of the blue, like crazy things that happen out of the blue. But the way, what insurance has turned into, it's turned into more of a meal plan where you pay in every month, but it's supposed to pay all this regular stuff, checkups, medications, things like that. And the best, you know, the cheapest plan I ever had before Obama, this would be back in like 2001. What did I buy as a guy in my 20s? I bought a plan that covered just crazy stuff. I called it the crazy contingency plan. It only dealt with catastrophic loss, meaning if I had something that came along that there was a $10,000 deductible on it or whatever it was. So that I knew that if I got cancer or I had a fluke car accident or I fell off a cliff somewhere, pushed by a crazy anti-Trump radical, that I would end up, you know, getting taken care of. And this is actually really what insurance ought to be. It shouldn't be a meal plan. It shouldn't be something that covers every little thing. And the biggest mistake of Obamacare, is that it decided rather arbitrarily to become, instead of a, well, it was, a, it forced on everyone a Cadillac plan. It included this, that, and the other. It included abortions. It included, you know, checkups. It included this, that, da-da-da-da-da. And by the way, when you hear this, you know, the everyone right now is talking about the CBO score. Well, the Ryan Care plan, the plan that is going through Congress right now, went to the Congressional Budget Office and they came back and they said, oh my gosh, it's all the 24 million people are going to lose their coverage. But it's because they're using, and don't let anybody ever tell you that, they're using the Obamacare definition of what it means to be fully insured. The problem with that is that a young man in his 20s, okay, I'm just humoring me here, does not need OBGYN insurance, okay? I mean, I know right now that we have some there's a grayscale to gender, and I have to be sensitive to that. But in all seriousness, there are things that people in their 20s don't need that people in their 50s do. But the idea that you start to pack these plans and sell people insurance that they don't want. No, not just sell, but force them to have insurance that they don't want is nonsense. And that is what the Republicans are trying to get rid of. Now, in theory, that's fine and dandy and everything. But it still doesn't get at the root of why health insurance is so expensive. You know, when you go to a doctor and there's a cash price, you know, and then the insurance price is higher, the doctor is literally willing to take cash from you less than what he would get from the insurance company. Because if he takes cash from you at a lower rate, you know this, you've experienced this. He knows he doesn't have to go through all the BS of filing a claim and chasing his money. Paperwork, hassle. The bureaucrats between your dollar that is spent for healthcare, whether it's sucked out of your paycheck by your employer, sucked out of your pocket by the IRS to pay for Obamacare through the mandate, or whether you cut a check to Aetna directly, that dollar, all the people that are between that dollar and the person that is making you better, your physician, your doctor, your dentist, your chiropractor, whomever, all those people that are between you and that buck and your provider, that they're all taking a piece. And what the end result is you don't have the health care you want, and the doctor isn't getting paid the money that he probably wants either. It is a total lose-lose system. And when we come back, I want to explain to you why this is such a political disaster and give you a little peek here. I want to explain some of this palace intrigue. I know what Trump is up to, and I got to tell you what it is. All right. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky back here behind the Sam Nation microphone. Looky here, I'm explaining how if it was just a cash system, healthcare would have to be affordable. And now you say, of course, I can already hear the cacophony of naysayers, shouting, saying, well, you know, wait, but think of how few people are really sick, and they would have to pay through the nose in order to get the services of have these complicated surgeries and cancer treatments and whatnot. You know what the stats are, by the way? I don't know if you know who Betsy McCaughey is. She's widely touted as one of the top healthcare experts in the country. She was a former lieutenant governor of New York and somebody who's often cited in news stories. She's all over the place, right? Her point here, and writing the other day, let's see here, this was in Real Clear Politics. She's writing and explaining how, you know, there's two separate groups in healthcare, the healthy and the seriously ill, and that the sickest 5% of Americans consume 50% of the healthcare. See, my point again is you're putting money into a pot as insurance against for when something big comes up, like cancer, like a big injury, perhaps, you know, a hip replacement, whatever it is, something big comes along and needs to get paid for. But you see, the doctor that does hip replacements, take that for example. If only a small number of Americans need the hip replacement, that's not what's relevant. What's relevant to him is that that's what he does. He does hips. He does them all day long, every day. And if he charges a number, whatever the number is, that the average American can't afford or can't get a quick loan for or can't, so if that's a number that that's just unfathomable, unfinanceable, unpayable, the man's going to starve, or a woman, could be a female doctor, but he's not going to eat because he will figure it out. Look, I'd rather do 5 to 6 procedures a day and charge $10K per procedure than do one procedure a day and charge $50. It's going to, you know, it's because you're getting more customers. They're going to come back. There's going to be PT, even if it's the same amount. He's going to want to do more procedures because there's always the chance that he can get 7 or 8 or 9. And that's how these doctors operate. At any rate, so you're hearing some news about Rand Paul, because I want to now talk. I've explained to you what the concern with it is. And this is why it's a political minefield. Because no politician really wants to talk about how to fix it. Now, Rand Paul had a great he's the one who's banging about it, this Ryan plan being dead on arrival in the Senate. And Senator Paul made an excellent point, and he's talking about a concept in health insurance that I actually think is spot on. It's actually something I use in the business. You know, we used to, I'll give you a little sneak peek to this. We used to buy a health insurance plan that covered at the time it was about 15 employees. And this plan is very, very expensive because the risk is spread across those 15 employees. Now, the good news for us is back then we were a sort of a younger group, so it wasn't as, but the fact of the matter is, the more people you have in your group, the less your costs can be. And this is because it's less likely that somebody's going to have something catastrophic happen in a group of 100 than in a group of 15. There's 100 people paying in, and there's chances one or two are going to have something catastrophic. In a group of 15, it's far more likely that you're going to have maybe one person have something bad happen, and then the economics of the deal just doesn't work. And so what you have is you've got companies. This is what we did. We banded with other companies that came together, and you basically go in with a bunch of other companies, and you have a giant group that goes in and buys insurance collectively and spreads that risk out. And I want to come back, and when I come back, I'll tell you what Rand Paul said, because it's so good. And this is exactly what Ryan needs to be listening to. And then there's the Trump angle. Don't let me forget about that. All right, Dave Alpert, next with the news. Back after this, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC, and we are back talking about healthcare. Now, let's read some tea leaves, because you've got to understand here what is going on behind all the nonsense that everything that people are saying. You got to understand what is actually going on behind the scenes. Now, when this came out, The first opening salvo to this, and you'll remember this is a few days back now, Trump went out and he said, yeah, this, we've got to do this thing. It's, you know, it's the best we've got. We've got to do this plan. This plan is good. I'm standing behind it, you know, and him and Paul Ryan locked arms in a rather unusual move. And there it was. And as the days have been marching on, there's definitely a sense that Trump's backing away from it. You know, in fact, most recently he's making some noise that, you know, we can change some things. We can fix some things. It's not perfect. We can talk about it. And this, well, I'll tell you, this is what this means is he's getting, obviously there's some pushback. But I think at the end of the day, and this is where it's very important tactically, and I'm not sure if Trump knows this or if he's doing it and how he's doing it, but it's so important tactically for him to let, if Ryan wants to take the lead on this bill, he needs to. Because and this is where I see Trump backing away from it a little bit, because I don't think that after talking about Obamacare for as long as he has, he wants to be out there and have this new plan be called Trump Care. I don't think Trump wants Trump Care. I think he's okay with Ryan Care. But he's got to. If this plan is going to not fix a lot of problems, and I explained it to you earlier in the show, the plan doesn't rework or redo anything. It doesn't encourage the exchanges that I described. And so I have this clip from Senator Rand Paul, who, by the way, is a physician by training himself. And he is talking about what needs to happen and giving an example of a type of exchange that is not possible under the current law. Let's play this.
We give you the power to join a group where you can get your insurance through a large buying group. You know what's going to happen? Instead of us kissing the boots of the insurance industry, they're going to bow down, get on one knee, and they're going to give us what we want. Good prices. When you get sick, you get kicked off. That only happens if you buy insurance as an individual. Let's let everybody join a group. We'll get lower prices. But you know what? It won't be a government mandate. It would be the marketplace working. It would be all of us joining together, and we would have the power to do this. The problem is this, though. The leadership in the House is weak-kneed, and they are afraid. They are afraid to lead with freedom and capitalism, so they're giving you something that's half as much as Obamacare but doesn't fix the problems.
Yes, exactly. Now, what is he talking about? exactly what I explained to you last segment. Imagine this, because right now, you know, you got the exchange plan, the state exchange, it's run by the state. Now imagine that you, let's say you're part, I don't know, you're part of some association or a church or whatever, or there would be private groups that are set up. The example he gave at this rally was the NRA. He said, yeah, anybody here a member of the NRA? And people are, yeah, we are, we love the NRA. And his point was, look, you could join, the NRA could offer a health plan. Now, how many members does the NRA have? A boatload, right? Now, let me ask you, who's going to get a better deal from Aetna or Blue Cross? Is it you or me going to them? Hi, I like some health insurance. Can you help me out? Can you give me a quote? Or is it, you know, you and, you know, I don't know, however many million of your fellow gun-toting friends? You always get a better deal when you buy in bulk. And when it comes to insurance, you definitely get a bigger deal because you're spreading that risk out among a large group. But I'll tell you the Trump angle when we come back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
It is so painfully obvious to me, this setup here, this Paul Ryan setup. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Look, Ryan, the congressmen and congresswomen, they are what? They are insulated. They are elected in very safe districts. Look, Paul Ryan was not very popular in the last election, right, among the Republican base. Got handily reelected in his primary, handily reelected in his district. They have job security. These Republican congressmen, they are safe. But there's somebody holding them to task lately, and his name is Trump. They don't like that. These guys, Paul Ryan, I mean, I could play the audio if we had 3 hours tonight. Look, he hates Trump, hates him. And this is a setup for it to become, this is a setup on Trump. And this is why Trump has to stay clear of this disaster. Now, Trump's between a rock and a hard place because he's promised reform. But you've got to know that there's more intricacies behind the scenes. And I think as this begins to unravel and as we get more clues, you know, I'm off the air tomorrow, but on Friday I want to address this again if there have been any developments. Because I suspect that this bill is just not going to get anywhere far. I don't think it's going to get to the bitter end. And I think that Trump is letting Ryan run with the ball. Because I think politically that's the better thing to do. For the same reasons I think it'd be better politically, honestly, the more, if they can sucker some Democrats in, you know, and spread the blame around. But, you know, the Republicans, that's what they did with Obamacare. They refused to get on board. And it became Obamacare. Because Obama led the thing. His hands were all over it. It was his deal. Couldn't get rid of it. So, hey, we've got a... All right, we've got a caller. I wanted to get to him because Bob in Sherman Oaks, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Bob, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Sam. Tonight's program is extraordinary. You've given the best analysis of this issue than I've heard anywhere by anyone. You got it right, and I wish you could address every American tonight, right now again.
Well, thank you, Bob. Now, yeah. Now, look. So, what can I ask? What kind of physician you are?
Yeah, I'm a surgeon, but you know, I've been an employer, so I deal with insurance employer. One of my children, he had cancer and survived, but I understand dealing with insurance companies, and they are, I believe, as you described, the expensive and inefficient middleman.
It's exactly right. It's a tremendous drain on assets,
yeah,
on both,
yeah,
fronts. I'm imagining a world. What would a world look like where there is no one between your patient and you? You know, maybe there's a health insurance finance company that you call and you say, hey, you know, I've got this $10,000 procedure. I've got a client who can't pay. You know, let's figure this out. But you don't have these layers of government restrictions and government plans and then government regulated private plans. It's just a mess. Well, I really appreciate your kind words, and I'm glad you enjoy the program, Bob.
No, you're great, and tonight you're better than great. You're extraordinary. So could you please call Trump and tell him exactly how you feel about it? And you're right about that, because he knows it's going to be a mess, because, frankly, the insurance industry will get its way. Rand Paul is correct, and that's why there is one affinity group, if you consider what he's proposing as joining affinity groups, that actually works efficiently, and that's the Medicare population. They're one large group. Right?
Yeah,
and
big buy-in group, and there it is. But
it works, and the insurance companies do it for much less money to process the claims than they do with the so-called private insurance. That's well known. Yep.
Yeah, it is crazy. Well, Bob, will you please hang on? We want to get some. We want to get Audrey to get your info. I want to send you some stuff, some swag, show swag.
Great.
Okay. All right, Bob, have a great night. Thank you so much. All right. Now, when we come back, I want to tell you this is where healthcare and Sweet James collide. Because there's something about what happens in a car accident that's a little bit different, okay? Or any kind of injury accident when it comes to paying for your healthcare. And it explains some of these high prices that I was alluding to earlier. Back after this.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
All right, Sam Rajofsky here. Let me give you a little sneak peek. This is a common mistake when people get into some sort of accident or injury, and they've got health insurance, for example, or you know, private health insurance, Medi-Cal, Medicaid, whatever it is, and now they say, look, I've got health insurance. I'm going to get what I get from the insurance company. I'm not going to, you know, from the guy that hit me, you know, I'm going to call them and be nice. And I'm just going to say, you know, pretty please throw me some money. My health insurance is taken care of. I'm fine. And that is one of the many mistakes that people make about their health care. And it's something I was just talking to Sweet James about this today, because I said, so, you know, what do you do on these cases? What do you have to do? Is there anything different that happens when a person has health insurance and an accident happens? And the truth of the matter is, you know, the health insurance company can come and take whatever you got in your settlement. If you're not represented, they're entitled to reimbursement. If they paid out for your care, and presumably what your settlement coming from the insurance company, right, for the guy that hit you, is a part of that is for your medical care, your insurance company can come and grab it. And believe me, they do. Can you think? So you pay your premiums, you do all that, they cover you, and then they want their money back. And so this is it. And I was talking to Sweet James. He said, no, we fight. He's telling me, for our clients, we fight all the time to make sure that insurance companies don't take that money. And if they do, just a little bit and not the full amount. And this is just one of the ways you've got to, you know, if you're in an accident, if you're hurt, don't try to do it on your own. Get a professional. Get the professional we trust. And that is attorney James Bergner. We here on the show, and his friends call him Sweet James. And when you talk to him, you'll know why. He's a good guy. He'll take your case. He'll fight for you and make sure you get the result that you deserve. Give him a call. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Now, let me tell you, so Trump today went to Tennessee. He had a giant rally, and he really excels at these. And he's not necessarily, I make an observation here. I listened to the rally here and doing show prep, and he's not talking about Ryan Care. as much. He's saying we got to fix it. And I'm willing to be open on how we fix it. But do you know what he spent most of his time talking about when it came to health care? He was talking about Obamacare. Here, just a clip of it here, real quick. Here is the crowd, he getting the crowd to boo Obamacare. Play the tape.
At the very core of Obamacare was a fatal flaw. The government forcing people to buy a government-approved product. There are very few people. Very few people.
Well, and then he makes a really good point.
And by the way, watch what happens.
By the way.
Now, you just booed Obamacare. They will say Trump got booed when he mentioned.
Fake news. Fake news. Well, anyway, cut the tape. Cut the tape. So that's what he was saying. But the point is, it's all about Obamacare. And I don't think Trump wants to wear a Republican failure. He does not want to put that hat on, that coat on, that outfit on. No way, no how. And in all of this, you know, it's good. This is where I'm hoping saner voices will come in. And so for right now, don't worry. Here's the takeaway. Don't worry. This plan is not happening, I think, anytime soon. So just stay tuned. We will always explain it to you in due course. And we'll be back on Friday to do just that. Talk to you then. Sam Rujofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Can't stop addicted to the shindig.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.